It's good to see everyone this morning and wish our mothers a very happy Mother's Day. And so I hope this is your day, whether that means cooking for all of your family coming in or whether it means staying away from the kitchen. Whatever is a good day for you, I hope this is a good Mother's Day for you. Just a couple of announcements. If you would like to volunteer at COTS on May 21st, please let Janelle know. And she will be glad to get you on the schedule. And one other announcement is every once in a while we put this announcement in the bulletin to please let us know if there are any names that should be removed from the prayer list. Sometimes names get put on because of a crisis situation or whatever, and we just forget that it's there. But in the church office, we don't want to take any names off prematurely. So if there are any names on here that should come off that you may have forgotten about, just please let the church office know. If we don't hear from anyone, it will remain as is. But just like to offer that reminder every once in a while. Are there announcements that should be made this morning that were not? If not, it is indeed always a joy when the Lord calls his people together. So let us come now and worship his most holy name. Gracious and loving Lord, we come before you now seeking to serve you, seeking to praise you, seeking to worship you. We thank you that indeed you are here with us, so our hearts and minds are open, praying that you receive our thanksgiving and praise, and we receive your messages to us. As we proceed, we pray this service is pleasing to your sight and hearing, and that it strengthens your people. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our hymn of praise is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We'll sing 1, 2, 5, and 6, and let's stand as we sing.
As we go to prayer this morning and share our joys and concerns, are there concerns or joys that should be voiced this morning? If not, let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, you are here, and we give you thanks. You awoke us to a new day, and we give you thanks. You placed it in our hearts together with the church, and thus we worship and we praise you. So as we come this morning, we pray that our heart communes with your heart and you receive our thanksgiving and praise. For so many times we are at a loss of how to express it, knowing there is no word that can be said, knowing there is no sermon that could be preached, knowing there is no song that could be sung or played that could adequately bring the glory that is due to the one who is glory. But Lord, may your heart commune with our heart, and may you experience our love and our adoration, our praise and our thanksgiving, so that you are pleased by what you experience from your people. And as we come praising your name, we praise you. If things are going our way right now, if life is fun, if life is a pleasure, if life is a joy, we praise you because those blessings have come from you. And if life is hard, We still praise you because we know it's through your strength that we see those times through. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning that wherever each of us may be on that line, that we feel your presence. We thank you for the faith that we know you are always with us. But, Lord, as human beings, sometimes we need to feel you. And I pray that we all may feel your presence this day. And it's in the knowledge of your love and your care for us that we bring before you names that you already know, situations that you already know. You know our printed prayer list. You know those concerns upon our hearts. And we know that you are addressing each one because even if we can't imagine it, you love each one more than we ever could. Regardless of how deep our love may be, you love them more. And so, Lord, we just trust our loved ones to you this morning, knowing that you will bestow your healing upon them according to your will and your wisdom. And so we just pray for them, and we pray for ourselves that we might trust in you. And we always must remember the freedom that is ours as we worship this day. We pray that we will always remember and experience our freedom with thankful, grateful hearts. That we will never forget that even as we worship, that there are men and women in harm's way in civilian and in military roles standing in the gap between us and those who would do harm and even try to take that freedom away. May your protection be upon those who protect us. May your healing be upon the wounded, the visible and the invisible wounds. And may your peace be upon the families whose loved ones gave it all. And gracious Lord, we do thank you for the family of God that gathers, worships, serves, and fellowships through Walker United Methodist Church. We pray that as you have blessed us, we will indeed be a blessing. And we pray that as you have bestowed your love upon us, that our love for you and for one another would grow, and even for those outside of our walls. And we pray that when we leave these grounds, that we will be reminded of your presence with us. Lead, guide, and direct our every thought, word, and deed, and bring us back that we will worship you and encourage one another. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say when we would pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of preparation is I Love to Tell the Story. Let's stand as we sing.
Gracious and loving Lord, we can give to you because you first lavished your love and gifts upon us. We pray that your blessings will continue upon each gift and each giver, and that you will guide us as a congregation, that every penny that has been entrusted is used according to your will to further your kingdom in this community and throughout the world. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Big the universe is, and if somebody who could create that something that vast, we can't imagine God. But I can boil them down into three words: God is love. It's the spirit of love. And Jesus came to show us that love. That was Jesus's mission on earth, was to show us how much God loved us. Most of you know I'm from Mississippi, and I'm proud to be from Mississippi. We lay claim to two great things, cotton and kudzu. And one thing you learn about kudzu is you can kill it, but it'll be back. It just views anything you put at it as a challenge. Love is the same way. You can kill it, but it'll be back. Life upon this wandering world.
Our scripture lesson this morning is John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I've called you friends, because I've made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It has been said of friendship, it is the only cement that will ever hold the world together. It's also been said, by friendship we mean the greatest love, the greatest usefulness, the most open communication, the noblest sufferings, the severest truth, the heartiest counsel, and the greatest union of minds which brave men and women are capable. Friendship is crucial to the health of the individual, to the health of the church, to the health of society. Yet most people can count on one hand the number of true friends they can claim, if they can claim any at all. We may be acquainted on a friendly basis, on a social basis, with many. We may be successful. We may be highly thought of in the community. But when the rubber hits the road, how many friends can we claim? Because, you see, true friends are such a rare treasure because friendship involves mutual risk and vulnerability. True friendship involves vulnerability because a trust develops whereby our deepest and innermost selves are exposed. If we have a true friend, that friend knows us at our most absolute best, and they know us at our most absolute worst. And in a world where image is everything, we dare not risk vulnerability or tarnishing our image. In a world where anything we say can and will be used against us in the court of public opinion and social media, we don't let our guard down. It's much easier and smarter to keep people at arm's length. It's good to have acquaintances, It's dangerous to be a friend. When he was in his 70s, the late Charles Schwab was a defendant in a lawsuit. Lawsuit was seeking a large amount of money, and quite frankly, he could have settled out of court for a fraction of the cost. Financially, it would have cost a whole lot less just to settle than it would have been to pay the legal fees to fight it. But he won the case, and he won it easily. And after the case was settled, well, not settled, but after he had won the case, he asked the judge if he might have permission to say a few words, and the judge gave him permission. And Schwab said, "I'd like to say here in a court of law and speaking as an old man that 9/10 of my troubles are traceable to my being kind to others. Look, you young people, if you want to steer away from trouble, be hard-boiled. Be quick with a good, loud no to anyone and everyone. If you follow this rule, you'll be seldom molested as you tread life's pathway." And then he paused. And then he said, "Except you'll have no friends, you'll be lonely, and you won't have any fun." Jesus took a chance. As he was preparing his disciples for his impending death, he called them friends. He knew that one of these persons was going to betray him. He knew that one was going to deny him. He knew the others were going to turn and run. And on the day of the crucifixion, John was the only disciple to be seen. Yet Jesus called them friends. And friendship described by Jesus is a deep and close relationship. He said to his disciples, "My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you." That's enough to take in and of itself. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Regardless of how many times I read this passage, it always gives me pause. To be a servant of Jesus is an honor. But Jesus says, "You are my friends. I no longer call you servants." When Jesus called his disciples friends, he elevated them to a status unheard of between one in authority and their subordinates. By calling Jesus' disciples then and us now friends, Jesus allows us to know the deepest, most inner nature and will of God. Those who first heard Jesus call his disciples friends would have heard this declaration in the context of Roman occupation. And in the courts of the Roman emperors, there was a select group of persons called the friends of the emperor. These persons had access to the emperor at all times. They were allowed into the emperor's private area. The emperor consulted these persons before he even talked to his highest officials in government. To be an official in the government was a position of power and a position of prestige. To be a friend of the emperor was to have his ear. And they enjoyed a connection. Envied by most. Before Jesus, God was a distant stranger, known only through laws and periodic appearances of the prophets. Before Jesus, God was only approached through the middleman of the priest, offering a specified sacrifice for the occasion. Before Jesus, God was known by such phrases as the Holy Other or the Unmoved Mover. Through Jesus, God transitioned from the distant stranger to closest friend. It is indeed to be a privilege to be a friend of Jesus. You know something else I've noticed about friends? As they spend time together, they start adopting each other's traits. Friends rub off on each other. Such being the case, consider that if we who profess the Christian faith really are friends of Jesus, hopefully that means Jesus is rubbing off on us. As we spend time in the Bible, as we spend time in prayer, does it not stand to reason that we would adopt the traits of Jesus? If indeed we are friends of Jesus, it stands to reason that we would become more and more like Him. A college student spent a year living with a group of Navajo as part of his doctoral studies program. As he did this research, he lived with the Navajo family, sleeping in their hut, eating their food, working beside them, living as a 21st century Navajo. The old grandmother of the family spoke absolutely no English. And the student spoke absolutely no Navajo. But they developed a close friendship. They spent a great deal of time together, and despite their language problems, they shared a common understanding of love and friendship. And over the months, each learned a few phrases from the other. Well, the time arrived for the student to return to college and to write his thesis, so the tribe gave him a going away party. And the next day, as he was preparing to get into his pickup and to leave, the grandmother came to tell him goodbye. And with tears in her eyes, she said, "I like me best when I am with you. I like me best when I am with you." Do we not like ourselves best when we are with Jesus? When we worship, when we pray, seeking to have Jesus determine our attitudes and actions, when we study the Bible, asking the Holy Spirit to inspire and teach us, do we not like ourselves better? When we serve one another as if we were serving Jesus, do we not like ourselves better? When we make decisions in the church, knowing we have sought to find God's will as opposed to pushing our personal agenda, do we not like ourselves better? I like myself best when I am intentionally with Jesus. In that same vein, we come back to one of the central themes of Jesus' message. Love each other as I have loved you. If we love each other as Christ loves us, it seems to me we should be able to say about each other and to each other, I like myself best when I'm with you. I like myself best when I am with you. For the church at its best is a fellowship of believers who have experienced the love of Christ individually, and we have grown to a place where that love of Jesus is naturally extended to anyone and everyone we come in contact with. And I hope you picked up on a single word in that sentence. Naturally. The church at its best is not where I have to come in and I intentionally say, I have got to love so-and-so, or I've got to treat so-and-so with respect, or when I'm out in the arena of business, etc., that I don't have to tell myself, I've got to treat that grocery store clerk with respect. I've got to treat fellow people in the gym working out with respect. I've got to love these people. I don't have, when I grow to the place where the church, which is us who claim the name of Christ, when we're being our best, we do all those kind of things because that's just who we are. That's just who we are. We don't have to tell ourselves to do these things. We seek to grow to that place where we're extending the love of Christ so naturally, if it's pointed out to us, we don't even realize we're doing it. The church at its best is a fellowship where coming together brings out the best in each of us. And wouldn't it be a testimony to Christ if people in the stores, people in the neighborhood, wherever life takes us, I'm going to use my name in this next sentence, but you use your name as you hear it. You know, whenever John's around, you can't help but be your best. Put your own name in that sentence. You know, whenever John's around, you just can't help but be your best. I've known folks like that. Haven't you? Sometimes Christianity just seems too simple. We want to make it complicated. We want to debate theology. We want to debate one denomination over another. We want to debate doctrine. We want to get into all this stuff. We want to make it get complicated. We just get hung up on all kinds of things. We look at the world and the issues seem too large and ominous for one person or one congregation to make a positive difference. But it seems to me that if we are friends of Jesus, Jesus will rub off on us. And we'll become more like Jesus. And as we cultivate that relationship with Jesus through worship, prayer, Bible study, fellowship, and service, we'll bring out the best in each other. And as we walk with our friend Jesus, and as we're bringing out the best in each other, we'll rub off on those persons we meet all along the way. And after a while, Jesus will bring out the best in them. And thus the cycle continues. And after a while, our little corner of the world becomes a better place. And after a while, if all the little corners of the world become a better place, the whole world will become a better place. So this morning, wherever we are in that process, let us all pray that we are truly friends with Jesus. So that we tell Jesus, I like myself best when I'm with you. So that we can tell each other, I like myself best when I'm with you. And then when people encounter us in everyday life, they can say, you know, when John's around, you just can't help but be your best. It's not that complicated. Jesus called us friends. So let us be a friend to Jesus. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord. Wow. I'm good with being your servant. I'm honored to see myself in a servant's role. But for you to call us friends, wow. But Lord, you did, and you do. So Lord, I just thank you that you've been that faithful friend to us, and I pray for ourselves that we would be a friend to you. And that you would rub off on us so that we may rub off on each other. And we may rub off on the world. And thus the world may come to know you. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. We'll sing 1, 2, and 4. Let's stand as we sing.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.